It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
Well, we're all done atoning for our sins, so I think we will. How you doing, Will?
Something happened the other day.
Really?
That I was thrilled by. I'd always wanted it to happen. The stupid movie dork thing I always wanted to happen. I went to a 12:20 in the afternoon showing of the movie Dread.
Yes.
You know, the new Judge Dredd movie.
Who doesn't?
And I was alone in the theater. Giant theater, just me.
Did you pull a Pee Wee Herman?
I was going to call it a Fred Willard, but I was thinking about it because I'm alone. I could do anything I want. I was sitting in the theater, and it's getting close to showtime, and I've been to probably thousands of movies. I've never been the only one in a theater, and we're getting close to showtime, and I'm like, I'm going to be the only one in this theater. And then the movie started. I'm like, I'm the only one in this theater. And then I started to think it was a little weird that I was the only one in this theater. It got a little creepy. But I was thrilled by this. Only one. I don't know what this says about me or what it says about the movie Dread.
Mm. Did you pick different seats? Did you jump around? Did you do? No, you just sat there nicely.
I just sat there nicely.
And you turned your phone off. You didn't even have it on, so it wouldn't bother anyone.
Yeah, I did. I did turn my phone off.
Oh, my God. So basically, you wasted a golden opportunity.
So what's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Same. Facebook, Twitter, followers, likes, all of it, Stitcher. That's what's going on in the world. This is Will Sean Podcast.
Just keep listening.
Keep listening. Keep what you're doing. Keep telling people. And Will and I are making a redoubled effort to pimp ourselves out. So, you know, we're getting into the back half of the year, and we really want to end the year strong.
And like us on Facebook, because we need more likes. It's stupid that we don't have more than we do. Who's our sponsor this week?
Well, Will, if you're like me, you have hundreds of hours of grainy, boring sex videos. Just one camera angle and not much variety. Now, with the professional services of Fucking Videos, you too can have the production values of the San Fernando Valley in the privacy of your own home. Our discreet team of pornographers will light, shoot, edit, and score your home sex movies. Fucking Videos, for the most precious of moments, captured forever in crisp digital video. Also available for gangbangs and orgies.
I have used them for gangbangs and orgies before in the past, and I will tell you what.
I remember they did a great job.
They did a great job. You were there at the gangbang.
It was great.
It was a hell of a good
How's
time.
She doing? She feeling better? She's
a little upset. She's a little trouble walking.
Yeah, well, that's hazard of the profession.
On the show this week, we're going to be, well, a lot of Emmy stuff to go over because the big show, we've got our complaints. And we've got our things to praise, but mostly we got our complaints. Also want to talk about some musicians that have come up on the podcast before. We're going to be heading back to them. But first, our guest this week is a terrific stand-up comedian, and he's here with us right now.
Ooh.
Jordan Peace.
Ooh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Welcome, sir.
I just have to apologize to the listeners in advance because I sound like a gay Fran Drescher on radio, so let's just put that out there. I'm like, don't change the station. Don't change it yet.
There's no station. They're just
don't change the podcast.
I'm gonna say we're gonna redub the Jordan Peace part, and I'm gonna say, and with us today, Gay Fran Drescher.
Drescher. Perfect.
It's gonna cause an internet sensation.
Do we think that Sofia Vergara in Spanish language countries view her the way that we view Fran Drescher?
I've thought of that before. I actually saw her once at Starbucks.
Yeah.
And this is a completely true story. I like had to approach her as a gay. I was like, oh my God, I fucking worship this bitch. So I go over to her and I like give her a huge hug, and I immediately just started touching her hair by accident. I was like, oh my God, I'm so
by
sorry.
Accident.
Just started petting her. I was like, oh shit, this is probably not good. I'm petting Sofia Vergara at Starbucks. But I think they view her as like, someone told me that every summer that her producers for Modern Family send her home.
Yeah.
To Colombia. She's from Colombia, right?
Yeah.
They sent her to Colombia for like a solid 3 or 4 weeks so she doesn't lose her accent.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Phenomenal. I want her to come just one season, just have this crisp British accent.
Oh, I know,
elocution.
Right?
It's all been an act. Then they'll give her an award because it's all been an act. She's actually a Brit.
I know,
can you
imagine?
She's Dame Judi Dench.
I know, she's Australian. You didn't know that? She's the crocodile hunter.
it's when you see, for example, Hugh Laurie, who did House for years.
Yeah.
When you see them in interviews, all of a sudden they're British.
You're like, what?
That's not right.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, or the guy from Damian Lewis from Homeland.
Yeah.
Who won. Let's take a step back. So are you? Where are you from? You from Los Angeles?
I am from New Jersey.
Well,
don't
sorry.
Tell anyone.
It's okay. It's okay.
I know. I'm from Central Jersey. So not Jersey Shore. It'd be like the hybrid. Actually, I can't even lie. It'd be the hybrid of like Jersey Shore and like Bronx trash, like right in the center.
That's where all the fumes back up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's our bread and butter for an audience.
Is what, yeah, the Bronx, Central Jersey?
Yeah, and Bronx trash.
Perfect.
But, so then when did you move out here?
I moved out here, well, when I was 17, I moved out to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And lived there for 2 years, just kind of partied and dropped out of every community college in the area.
Excellent.
And then I moved down to L.A. in 2010.
Okay.
So about 2 years ago.
So not that long in the grand scheme of things.
No.
And already, so far, things are going pretty well
for
you.
It is. The ball, the snowball is rolling, and I'm excited for it. I want, like, the smog ball. I don't know what kind of ball is in L.A.
What compelled you to want to do, like, stand-up? What was it that said, like, I'm going to go stand on a stage? And you know, because it's rough, right? You bomb a lot at the beginning.
So everyone's like, the first time you do stand-up, you bomb. And I, like, had a different experience. The first time I did stand up, I like smoked it. I don't know what happened. I think I was just so nervous. I didn't do any material. I just kind of was myself and it went over well. Then I was like, I had like the vibe. I was thinking that I was going to fucking roll through this so easy.
Where's my sitcom?
Exactly. And then the second time I did stand up, bomb is not even an understatement. it was like, I can't even. Well, what happened was I did this place called the Hollywood Hotel.
Okay.
As my first stand-up, and I had like a bunch of friends there. So it was like, how can you bomb when like half the audience is your roommates and the other half are people that are staying at a one-star hotel? You know what I mean? So then the guy who books the Hollywood Hotel was like, oh, I have a spot for you at the Comedy Store, which I think was your previous guest, Matt Taylor's show, one of his shows that he produces at the Comedy Store.
Interesting.
Right?
I don't know.
He does stand-up at the Comedy Store,
no.
Right? Matt Taylor?
No.
Could be a different Matt Taylor.
Maybe that's
different
more than
Matt
one
Taylor.
Matt
Taylor. Unless Matt Taylor totally find this out. Because I think he does. Does he have like, is he like kind of have raggedy blonde hair?
He's got long hair.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he does stand up at the Comedy Store.
We're going
to
look into this.
Or he used to. Maybe he just produces shows there.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe with Alex. He was involved. Because Alex said she used to produce stuff at the Comedy Store, didn't she?
Through his wife as well.
Okay, so Comedy Store.
So I go there, and I was nervous as shit. So I think I had probably like 3 beers, 2 vodka sodas, because I'm gay. And then...
What's wrong with the vodka soda?
I just feel like it's... unless you can only drink it unless you're homosexual or you're above the age of 65. I think that's the rules for vodka soda.
Fuck.
Oh, are you? Do you drink it?
I've had it.
You got to change the tonic. but anyway, I got so fucking drunk that I literally almost fell off stage multiple times. I was like pacing back and forth, and I was up there for like 7 or 8 minutes, and I was like, the only thing I could think about was like an In-N-Out cheeseburger, and it was just awful. And then from there on, it was like, you just got to work so hard on it, and like, you kind of just have to be yourself and kind of figure things out on the fly. Like, the more you do stand up and the more you watch it, you really get, that's how you learn.
It's one of those that you learn by doing.
Now, are you one of those people that sits down and says, I am going to write 5 jokes, or are you just constantly absorbing and thinking of material?
All my material hits me, like, throughout the day.
Okay.
It's just, like, I'll see something and it kind of morphs into material.
Yeah.
Or, like, and a lot of, it's so funny because a lot of my audience is actually a straight heterosexual audience.
Yeah.
And most of the people that love my stand-up are straight women and straight men, because a lot of my comedy is like making fun of gay culture, because I feel like people don't, it's like such a touchy thing right now with gay marriage. No one makes fun of it. So now I go on stage and they're like, oh, here's a gay kid. And the first thing I say is like, oh God, the other gay comedian was so fucking annoying. I can't even listen to him talk. So it's like, I feel like sometimes I know I'm going to get in trouble for it in the future, but I'm like, you know what? Fuck it.
There's no one else doing it. That's kind of the welcome trouble in a way.
Exactly,
it's like,
yeah.
And we were actually going to ask you about your audience, if you were more...
Yeah, now, they book me at first for a lot of gay shows, which is like, I'll never turn down a show because... from what I've heard, it's like, you just have anything you book, you have to do it.
Right.
And that's how you get your face out there and your name out
there.
You
don't want to burn bridges.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I'll do Chipotle. I don't give a shit. I'll do stand up at the diner.
Chick-fil-A.
Actually, it'd be very daring.
I can't even deny it. Chick-fil-A is so delicious. I have to eat it. Every time I drive past it, I'm like, gay rights, Chick-fil-A. I don't know. It's too hard.
So then you do address, like you said, a lot of gay
stuff.
Oh, how about gay marriage? Like, what is your...
Personally, I'm not ready for gay marriage because that's like a 4-year commitment that I'm not ready to make. but
gay starter marriage.
Exactly. But obviously I'm pro gay marriage. I hope it passes as soon as possible. But if someone was like, do you want to get married right now? Or if I was in a relationship for a few years, I'd be like, I don't know. Unless it's like a Taylor Swift fucking music video, I'm not getting married.
So I don't think I get that reference.
You can hide right now behind the fact, well, you're in a relationship with a guy. Well, it's not legal yet, so I guess we're not getting married.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm like, yeah. And I'm so picky. My dating is just such a joke. I don't think I've ever been on more than 2 or 3 dates. It's like, really? I'm so fucking picky. It's ridiculous. One time I broke up with someone because they did not like the Britney Spears Slave For You video. I was like, it's the sexiest video of all time. As a gay man, how could you not like that? And as any person, I was like, she's holding a snake. She's holding a fucking snake when she performs. And I literally was like, you have to leave right now. I'm sorry. I can't physically date someone that does not like the song Slave For You.
That could be the greatest breakup reason.
And I'm shallow as hell, so I'm like, I can't.
Good combination.
Yeah.
Wait, no, listen, just because, you know, I'm 31 doesn't mean I'm ready to get married. Exactly, and I got nothing to hide behind.
And I know I have friends that really deserve to get married. They've been together for like 10 plus years. Yeah. They have kids. They're adopting kids, which is fucking crazy, which I'm so happy. I mean, when I'm going to adopt a kid because I'm a fame whore and I have to have one for
it's the accessory. So
that's what I said. I want to have a mixed race baby, like half black, half white, because they're like the Louis Vuitton of babies. That way I'm in every magazine.
That's how you skyrocket the chart.
Yeah,
the
I'm gonna adopt kids and make my way straight to the middle. Like, that's just how it's gonna happen.
So you're out here, Jersey boy, gay comic. How are you with the family? How's the family?
My family, I'm blessed. My family's so supportive. Like, it's to the point where I feel so lucky that it's like I have to remind myself every single day to appreciate my family. Do you know what I mean? Like, first of all, I'm the youngest. So I have an older sister who's 29 and my brother's 25 and my sister's a lesbian. So she kind of broke out into that, like, she like broke down every fucking door. So when I came out, they were like, I don't give a shit. Like, turn up the volume on the TV. Like, they didn't.
And how's your brother? So what's your brother
and
like?
My brother's like the token straight stuck in the middle, but my brother's a fag hag, like literally a fag hag. He's a straight fag hag. Like, when we go to bars, he gets hit on more than me. He gets so many free drinks. He doesn't give a shit. He's been in a relationship with the same girl now for like 4 years, so he's confident with himself. So when I go to gay bars in San Francisco, because I live in SF right now, it's like they get the attention. I'm just like, yeah, whatever, do your thing. Do you know what I mean? Get your free drinks, just pass them on to me. After.
I'm going to get up on stage and kill this room.
Exactly, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so but it's I'm the worst gay son. It's like, I'm not an interior designer or a decorator. I'm not a stylist or like, I don't care about animals or the environment. I just suck dick. Like, where do you go from there? So it's like, my family's like, I can't even be that good gay son.
You're not the Uber. You're touring like Idaho.
Exactly.
Doing.
They're like, this is my gay son. He says cunt on stage for money. Like, where are you supposed to go from there?
And you did just come back from a tour, right?
I did. I did a Pacific Northwest tour. It was an eventful 3 weeks. It was amazing.
I know you mentioned off the air that you performed in Idaho. How did they because I don't think, I have relatives in Idaho. I don't think of them as being immersed in gay culture.
Me either. And I was so fucked. Well, a lot of my humor, it's like, so like, I make fun of myself. Right. I make fun of gay culture. I make fun of everything. It's like, I kind of do it because, like I said, no one's really touching on making fun of gays that much. And it's like, you kind of need to do it to make it that level playing ground. You know what I mean? Like, you just want to be looked at as everyone else. And if they see me making fun of myself and my community, it's like, it's not going to encourage them. I don't think it's going to encourage them to make fun of it as much. Right. I think they're just going to be like, oh my God, like,
it's
here's
okay.
This kid. He's funny. He's making fun of his community. Do you know what I mean? You have to make fun of yourself before you make fun of other people.
You're learning the lesson that Jews have learned thousands of years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Like, before I make a black joke, I'm obviously going to make a gay joke first. Like, you gotta break down the wall slow before you can just be like, I want to go as the help for Halloween. Because that never goes over too well.
Now, I said you've had a lot of success lately. Now, you won the funniest new comic in Los Angeles competition.
Yeah, it was in the end of June. At the John Levitz Comedy Club at Universal.
John Levitz.
Home
of the Hollywood Babylon podcast.
So there was two categories. There was 2 years and up, and for people, it was called like the New Jack category, which was for people who had been doing stand-up for – less than 2 years. Right. And I was in that category because I've been doing it for now just, like, solid doing stand-up for just over a year.
Okay.
So when I did it, it was like I had been doing stand-up for probably 9 months, and I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to go for it. You know what I mean? You only get 3 minutes besides to while you're up on stage. So it was like you have 3 minutes to kill it. And there were some awesome people. There was like 10 judges, and they rate you on everything between crowd-pleasing to your performance, stage presence, to your material, if it's been heard before, if it's new. Everything from that. And Dante the comic, he was on Last Comic Standing.
Okay.
Him and his fiance, I want to say. I don't know if they're together. But Rebecca Cochan, who's an actress, she's in a bunch of like horror movies and a bunch of gay comedies. She's like a gay icon. They produced the show, and I had no idea what to expect going into it.
Yeah.
And when I got there, and there was like 300 plus people with like three levels of just full sold out audience.
Yeah, we've been
to
a huge place.
Holy shit! Like this is for real. So I was like, I was so nervous, but I feel like I turned my nerves into adrenaline. So then I just went into the bathroom, did a couple spins to Lady Gaga, and got my confidence back. And then I just went for it, and I kind of like had the crowd in my hand after the first joke, and I was like riding the wave, and it was amazing.
So did you get anything, or just the?
It was so you book. It was three paid booked shows as a feature. So it was like I did 12 minutes, anywhere between like 8 and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Which was awesome because those were my first like actual paid shows, which I did not even use the money. I saved it. I like put it in a box because I'm gay and I'm sentimental like that. I was like, I'm going to have to scrapbook this shit. So I put it in a box and I was like, this is the first $300 I ever made doing stand-up. And like the next month after winning the competition, I mean, I got a trophy, which is on the top of my television, of course, which I dust off every day, and I treat it like it's an Emmy. I, like, carry it around with me everywhere. I'm like, did you see my trophy? Did you see it?
Put it in your pants. And
Oh, no, it's everywhere. It's in, like, all my Facebook photos. I'm like, oh, there's a trophy behind me. Funniest new comic.
Nice. Well, look, we've seen videos of you. We got to get down and see you live in person because you are hysterical. Why don't you, real quick, tell us before we get into the topics, why don't you tell us, how we can find out more about you or,
awesome.
You know,
you could find me at thejordanpease.com, P-E-A-S-E. It's like, please without the L. That has all my show info. I kind of just basically update everything through my Twitter, which is at JordanPease1. Totally tweet me, twat me, twerk me, whatever you want to call it. And then I have a couple shows coming up, which are, the Pechanga Casino and Resort in Temecula. That's on October 12th at 9:30 p.m.
Nice.
You could buy tickets on Pechanga.com. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Pechanga.
Pechanga. Yeah, it's about 90 Pechanga. Minutes east of Los Angeles, right okay. outside Palm Springs.
Okay, nice. So, yeah. Palm Springs, Palm Springers, gays, stop flipping houses and get out there. And straights, you know I love you. You got to be there. And then I'm also doing October 4th. This is a little sooner. The Rolling Stone on Hollywood and Highland in LA at 8 p.m. on October 4th.
Perfect. And, so, that's and we're going to.
A
yeah.
couple people from Last Comic Standing. So.
And awesome. If you're a good listener to the podcast, you've already been to the Facebook page, you've seen the link to Jordan's website, and you've gone and you've already purchased tickets to these things. I know you have.
Of course, yeah. Sell it out.
So let's go on to the topics of the week. And before we get into the big stuff, which is the Emmys, I wanted to talk about two musicians that we've previously had as enemies on the podcast.
I love it.
Wanted to talk about them again. One is Mr. Chris Brown, who was our enemy in episode 3. This fucking asshole. We didn't get to it last week, but...
I'm excited that I get to be here for this.
Jordan, I see you have tattoos.
I do.
Did you see what this guy got? He got this fucking neck tattoo.
I have not seen this yet.
It's a tattoo on his neck of a woman, and like half her face is like a... It looks battered. He got a
It's a shitty tattoo. Oh, he got a battered woman tattoo.
No, it's like a Mexican Day of the Dead painting.
Okay, got it.
But it... doesn't if you look at the original it's like then you get what it is
yeah
but when it's on his neck yeah. with the ink and it looks like a battered woman's face
yeah
Day of the Dead battered woman who cares you get a woman with a fucked up face on your neck
yeah.
when you've been accused
you're gone your head goes straight for Rihanna that's what you think of yeah
yeah well the big thing is people have said I know I was watching E.
Of course.
And
like
they,
you do.
The
like
gay Bible.
And they were saying that there was a big report, like, is it Rihanna? Is it a tattoo?
Yeah,
of
you're like, does Rihanna look like a fucking Mexican nun? Obviously, it's not Rihanna, but your head, your mind goes there. He punched her in the face. What do you expect?
What is this guy thinking? What's wrong with this guy, Jordan?
I think, well, first of all, as someone who gets tattoos, my sister's a tattoo artist, actually, the lesbian she is. And the thing I don't really understand is when, I don't know if this is going to come off racist. I don't know if this is going to be racist, it totally is. What color is the tattoo? Is it colorful? Like, how does that work? Because when black people get tattoos in black, the first thing I think about is, what the fuck were you thinking?
Well, it was a, it's a dark, but Sean,
it's dark.
Seen it.
I don't
it's
remember. Yeah. I didn't give this more than 2 seconds of thought.
Of
but
course,
it's,
yeah.
yeah.
So I'm
well,
like,
it's not
I have
fucking
to check
Technicolor.
It out. Okay,
I can tell
yeah.
you that.
So, I mean, I'm sure it probably looks like a bruise on him as it is, and it's this bruised, beat up woman tattooed on him. I mean, I really think that. When he, the thought has had to cross his mind when he was getting in, like, people are going to think this is Rihanna.
I don't think he gives a shit.
Aren't there people, though, around him who say, Chris, don't get that tattoo?
Yeah. Like, his publicist must have said something.
He probably, if he has a publicist, she's doing anything she can just to keep him happy. I can't imagine that she has much control over him.
She's yeah. the most
because
put
he
upon
kind of fell
woman.
Off for a little bit after he beat the shit out of Rihanna.
I can't believe how quickly his career came back either.
I mean, oh,
I
know.
That.
And then she was like dating him again for a hot second. What the hell was that about?
Well, let's not even go. That's a whole different issue. With
yeah,
her.
I mean, I think they are they dating? She tweeted at him.
Yeah,
like
they're friends.
Like, good luck on your court date.
Yeah. I'm like, exactly. I know. I'm like, is that sarcasm?
The other guy, he was an enemy 2 weeks ago, or his band was. We had called Green Day out a few weeks ago for the first time putting out clean versions of their albums where they don't say, like, fuck and stuff
that's
like that.
That's no fun. Why would you do that?
Exactly.
Walmart.
Oh, God.
That's why we called
them
out.
That's when you know you're a sellout.
Well, because we did this, I'm giving me and Sean full credit for this.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day, he had, like, this amazing on stage meltdown.
Oh, I saw, yeah.
The iHeart Music Festival in Las Vegas. Essentially, they were supposed to give him a 45-minute set. Then they told him the set was cutting down to 25 minutes because they wanted to give Usher some more time.
And he freaked the fuck
out. Well,
off.
It wasn't that. They let him play the set through, and then they gave him a one-minute warning in the middle of a song.
Yeah.
And he just lost his shit. He started screaming. It's one of the epic rock star meltdowns.
It is.
Yeah,
it is rock star that he melted.
And he goes, are you fucking kidding me? I've been around since 1988. I'm not fucking Justin Bieber. And at the end of it, he just smashed his guitar.
The guitar, yeah.
And then, shock, he announced that Billy Joe Armstrong has substance abuse problems and will be entering rehab.
Oh, I know, right?
Let
shocker.
Me tell you what. This redeemed him in my eyes.
Oh, I know.
Because he had a... We called him out for not cursing and acting like a rock star. And then he went on stage and he tore shit up. He's a fucking rock star.
It is. It's true. And at the iHeart Music Festival, whatever, radio festival, that's good. Because meanwhile, it's like Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber are backstage shitting their pants as he's smashing his guitar.
Was Bieber there?
No, I don't think so. I think he just decided to arbitrarily... I think what his point was is that I've been around forever. You can't treat me like this.
Yeah.
I'm not a brand new up-and-coming.
I mean, what's so bad if this concert goes a little long? I'm sure the people in the audience aren't going to give a shit if Green Day plays for 15 more
minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
people want their Usher.
Yeah, meanwhile, you're in Vegas in the beginning of September. It's 2,000 degrees outside as it is. Let them stay inside.
I like it. Green Day, you're starting to come back in the podcast good graces.
And you're going
to
buy the album?
No, I'm not going to buy it.
No,
fuck
that
shit.
I'll rip it off somewhere.
Yeah. Fuck these people. Okay, let's move on to the Emmys, because the Emmys happened.
The Emmy or the enemy?
The enemy is going to be in this Emmy rundown.
Oh, my God.
Before that, you know, we had done a big build-up to the Emmys. We did a whole Emmy episode because we're fucking idiots. First of all, Jimmy Kimmel hosted. How do we think Jimmy, as a comic, how do we think Jimmy Kimmel did?
First of all, I can't bash anyone who has an amazing career like that because he's Jimmy Kimmel. Do you know what I mean? That's my dream to do that. I think I liked him because, like, coming off Kevin Hart from the VMAs and stuff, it was like, it seemed like every show, every big award show has just been bombing lately. Like, I on Gmail News, it talked about how the first episode of The Kardashians, like, tripled the views of the Emmys.
Jesus.
That's nuts. That's crazy to watch hairy Armenians. That's nuts.
Now, Jimmy Kimmel, I feel like it's almost always such a hard task, these award shows, because you got people like the Oscars, the Emmys.
Yeah.
You're always fighting an uphill battle.
And it's hard to – I feel like it's hard to host an event like that because you have to have some sort of class.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, hosting the Emmys, it's classy.
You just can't come out and shit on everything.
Yeah, if you're hosting the VMAs, you're like, fuck it, it's the VMAs.
Golden Globes are so interesting because you kind of walk that line between it's classy, but everyone knows this is a bullshit award show, and that's why people had such conflicted views about Ricky Gervais. I thought Jimmy Kimmel did as good a job as can be expected. He came out, he did solid jokes, he didn't disappear for too long.
Exactly.
He kept the show moving along, and he did some funny little sketches.
Yeah.
And it didn't ever feel like he was trying
too hard
to
he
get the
really
laughs.
Casual, which is good.
He did seem casual. You know, these things, they always have the problem because they have to appeal to the man. It's not like he could appeal to the Jimmy Kimmel late night audience. He has to find a middle ground. I feel like some of his skits were funny but might not have had the teeth they would have had if he did it as a late night. Even the opening with them, I thought it was a little...
Yeah.
I mean, I liked seeing all those actresses. I liked seeing...
Yeah, Kathy Bates.
Yeah, Kathy Bates, Lena Dunham.
You just like seeing Lena Dunham naked eating a cake on a toilet.
I don't know why I'm
love her.
To Lena Dunham, this frumpy...
She's talented.
I think I'm attracted to the talent.
She's talented, yeah. She is, but she is frumpy. When I first saw her, I was like, she looks like one of the dwarves from fucking Snow White or whatever.
Next time you fuck an ugly chick, I want you to look at me right in the eye and go, but she's talented.
Yeah. And she's worth, like, already over... She's worth... I mean, her father is worth millions
of
dollars.
Yeah, her family's already...
Get your teeth fixed. She needs to get her teeth fixed. Every time
as a person
that
has,
like,
tattoos...
What's with that?
Those tattoos are awful.
Oh, I know. Yeah. They're like stamps. They're literally like stamps.
Those tattoos are just...
Ugh. Get a retainer and get some tattoo removal.
Well, let's see. What else happened on this Emmys? Here's the thing. We watched the Emmys in a bit of a group, me and Sean, with some people. And all of us at this get-together, we realized that we should probably be watching Homeland.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be that was the show. And it's one of the few shows nominated that none of us there watch.
Yeah, that's everyone that I've talked to when Homeland won, they're like, oh yeah, I heard that's a good show. Who actually watches it?
So my dad and my brother and a lot of people that I know fucking love that show. Same thing happened to me last year when Downton Abbey took all those awards.
Okay.
I went home and then I just got hooked on Downton Abbey, which if you don't watch it is a fantastic, if slightly shallow. It does a good job of making you feel very smart. It's not bad, but it's not perfect. I watched the first two episodes of Homeland after the Emmys. And let me tell you.
Incredible?
No. It's a good show.
Okay.
It's entertaining. But also, it's a little shallow. It's a little on the nose. Both the main characters are just nut jobs. Mm-hmm. And when I was talking to my brother about this over the weekend, he goes, oh, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm like, okay.
You probably haven't.
No, and I know. It has the same kind of visceral thrills that 24 does, which is not a shock because Howard Gordon was the same mind behind 24, where you get pulled into the momentum of the show, but if you stop and think about what actually is going on, you're like, this is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it just pulls you along, and it's got such energy, and because it's on Showtime, they can have violence and nudity and cursing.
Exactly.
So it's not a bad show, but it's not better than, at least in the two episodes I've seen, it's not better than Breaking Bad. It's not better than Mad Men.
Okay.
Thus far. But it's the kind of show that just, it has twists, and it has shocking plot developments, and people you get pulled in for this crap.
Speaking of Mad Men, it's a fucking embarrassment, Emmys, that Mad Men has never won a single acting
that's ridiculous.
Award. Never. How has Jon Hamm never won? Christina Hendricks, she should have won.
Exactly.
Elizabeth Moss.
She's brilliant, Elizabeth Moss. Two seasons ago, that episode, The Suitcase, I would have given her all the Emmys.
Even the male Emmys. But yeah, it's just, you know, the Emmys in general are, we've talked about
Modern
this.
Family wins everything.
Oh, I know. Anything comedy, Modern Family.
It's a good show. It's nothing wrong with Modern Family, but is it better than Curb or...
It wins so many Emmys because it's funny, but it's like family oriented. Like, you could have your kids sit down and watch with you without being like, oh, shit.
The other thing, the last award of the night was for Modern Family, best comedy. Steve Leviathan or whatever.
Leviathan.
Who Leviathan. Who what am I thinking?
Well, clearly you're thinking about 18th century French philosophers.
Well, anyway, Steve.
Actually, no, he was a Scotsman. He wasn't French. Continue.
Steve.
Leviathan.
He was giving his acceptance speech.
For best... No, for the show.
No, for the show.
For the show. Best overall, right? It's like overall comedy.
At end of the show, he probably isn't going to talk for more than another 30, 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. Boom, they cut him off. It's fucking ridiculous. Just let the... Oh, my God, we don't get to your late local news for another 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. What's the tragedy?
Yeah, how many more people can possibly get shot downtown? Let them talk.
Exactly. Let them finish the thing. It's the last award of the night. Everyone's already tuned out anyway.
Yeah.
Just let them finish.
Yeah, that show ran 3 hours to the second. I mean, it was... And imagine if Maggie Smith had been there to speak.
And someone else, Tim Van Patten, who won directing for Boardwalk Empire, he wasn't there to speak. So if these people had been there, what would they have done?
Exactly, yeah.
I think they would have cut commercials.
And the memorial montage, I was like, I mean, it's amazing to always see that. And it's
That's
crazy.
The best part of the show.
Exactly, and it's crazy to see how many people have passed away with such talent.
Yeah.
But it takes, that was like a solid 15 minutes of the memorial. I was like, oh my God, this is the longest one I've ever seen.
Couple more things to bring up that aren't the enemy yet. Did you hear what Nikki Fink said the next day? And actually, as a comic, I want to ask you this. You probably heard this show.
Well, I see it right here.
yeah, it's in our rundown. Nikki Fink said, only women who grew up ugly and stayed ugly or through plastic surgery became beautiful can pull off sitcoms or stand-up.
So there's actually this It's what she said makes sense.
Whoa.
But at the same time, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
So there's this, I don't even know if we want to call it hype, but as a comic, you kind of figure out that there's times when you need to come over as a douchebag. There's times you need to come off as sentimental. You need to make the audience feel like they're friends with you.
That's how I get laid.
So when you see... Even with guys, when you see good-looking male comics go up and then they start talking about sex, they instantly bomb. Instantly. Because no one wants to see a douchebag talking about sex. If he jokes about how he's not getting laid, you know he's lying. Like, do you know what I mean? If you're an Abercrombie model, you can't talk about how you're not getting laid or had bad sex because you're like, you're an Abercrombie model. Shut the fuck up.
That's true.
So with women, there's this whole thing where it's like, it goes back to like... The unruly woman, like Roseanne Barr, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She, when you're not as attractive as most people, I would say 40% of the population.
47%, let's be specific.
You could get away with murder. Do you know what I mean? You could say anything you want and it brings that attention. And then it's almost like your personality shines over your looks. And it's all the jokes you make just stand out so much more. But when someone... They say when there's a really attractive girl and she's the unruly woman and she talks about something dirty and stuff like that, you get that laugh, but you get sick of it fast.
Well, right, because it's like, yeah, bitch, don't talk. It's like watching a romantic comedy. It's like, oh, Jennifer Lopez can't find a date. Uh-huh. Fuck you.
I know. How many times is Jennifer Aniston going to trip over a leaf to find her man of her dreams?
Yeah. Well, this was also, I think this comment was made about Julie Bowen winning.
Bitch needs to eat a sandwich.
But I mean, she's
I know, stop
she's
throwing up, right?
Funny on the show, and she's very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's where I see what you're saying about stand-ups because
three words for you: Julia Louise Dreyfus.
She's
always been attractive.
She's always been attractive. Kristen Wiig
exactly.
is attractive.
But she wasn't.
Was she not attractive?
Look back at the first seasons of SNL and stuff like that she was in, she looks nothing.
Well, even Tina Fey.
Right after Bridesmaids, it was like, woof, she was hot.
Yeah, she got a stylist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was attractive then, but then again, I also want to fuck
No, but even think of someone like Tina Fey, who's got like a scar on her face. I can see that being a source of... Hey, I think I look ugly. I'm going to go make fun of myself. I think Sarah Silverman's attractive, but she wasn't. I mean, also,
I think
someone's got very strong features. And
Well, isn't that the other thing? It's a stupid statement just because everyone's definition of what attractive is.
Exactly.
Different.
And it's comedy changes so much. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like something that was funny 45 years ago might still be funny today, but at the same time... It's the world. Everything changes so much. You can't... The comments like
that...
But
I hear your point about, like, an attractive woman getting up there making... Mm-hmm. I think if you were an attractive woman, once again, I'm speaking from zero to no experience, going up and doing stand-up, you need to find a different angle to it.
It's true. When people go up and they're attractive and they do the whole thing of, I'm just going to talk about sex, as a comedian that's starting to learn more about the business, the first thing you think in your head is, this is going
to
bomb.
You have to know about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the key. But I feel like that would be the key no matter what you look like.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's the thing. The statement kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I think there's so many talented, attractive non-stand-ups. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we talk about stand-ups, but like, you know, who are nominated for these awards. And
I think for sitcoms, if you're attractive and you're remotely funny, you have it. That's fine. Do you know what I mean?
But Nikki Fink, even with your stupidity, and she'll destroy us now.
She will. I hope she rips us apart on the – we should tweet at her.
She live snarks our podcast. But even with your comment, you are not the enemy of the podcast.
Yeah.
So watching the Emmys here, and I was very happy to see Louis C.K. won 2 Emmys. Mm-hmm. Well deserved.
Quick
sidebar. That is a comedian who speaks from his experience, speaks from himself. You feel like he's – he is completely and totally himself when he's up there, when he's on stage, and there's no artifice, there's no act. He's
I
just
completely agree.
Himself.
He's as a comic, he's a huge inspiration, and I love that he.
But that takes like 20 years to get there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, most comedians have been doing it for 10 to 15 years before they even make it far in the business. Yeah.
And he has now created this brilliant show.
Yeah.
He's really smart.
He's starting a Louis C.K. empire.
Yeah. He really is.
Got to let him. You know, give him any penny he wants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, anyway. You know, I was very excited when we got to the best male actor in a sitcom because I'm like, Louis C.K., fucking genius. But then Alec Baldwin, who's funnier than him on 30 Rock, great actor, great comedic performance. Larry David, who's fucking better than Larry David, one of my personal heroes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Next to Lennon.
Geniuses.
The category was stacked with the actors.
And then... they opened up the envelope.
Oh, God.
And fucking John Cryer. 2.5 man. The half a man. John Cryer.
In the 9th season.
He wins this Emmy. And I don't know if it's some Charlie Sheen bullshit.
Yeah.
But John Cryer, you win the Emmy? You know you didn't deserve to be up on that stage. You're standing there. You look fucking awkward. Your days of being ducky are long past.
I feel like they gave it to him because they're like, this show is about to end, and someone
needs it. He's won an Emmy before in the supporting category, where he always was because Charlie Sheen was the star of that show. So you want to know what, John Cryer? Fuck you. You're the enemy of the podcast. You didn't deserve to win that award, and I don't want to hear from you that, all right, it's not my fault. No, it's your fucking fault because you know you're not as good as these people. You shouldn't even be in the category. Fuck you, Louis C.K. In a world where Louis C.K., Larry David, and Alec Baldwin win, in a world where Louis C.K.
In a world
where Louis C.K., Larry David, and Alec Baldwin are alive, you don't deserve to win any award ever.
There's no comparison.
Fuck you. See, and I'm getting all flustered over this thing. It was so frustrating. And I liked them as Ducky back in the 80s.
Yeah, in 1986.
But you know
what? And that's because you felt bad for him.
And I feel like this is the one thing that you could talk about from the Emmys. Like I feel like after the Emmys, you pull nothing else from that except everyone's like, how the fuck did he win?
Except there's a whole bunch of bullshit about John Cryer winning. Fuck you.
Time for drinks?
Maybe. I need a drink after this. I mean, it's just upsetting, you know? I mean...
Also, the problem with the Emmys, we've talked about this before, it's you see the same fucking shows year after year, the same people get nominated, at least with the Academy Awards, the Tonys. There's something fun with the Golden Globes. There's something new. There's a new crop every year.
With the Oscars, you can't nominate Titanic every year.
And Amy Poehler. I was like, come on. How could she not win something? Parks and Rec is an incredible... That show kills me.
How is Nick Offerman, who plays Ron Swanson, how has he never been nominated?
Oh, my God. I completely agree. He is unbelievable. That role he plays...
Ron fucking Swanson.
Oh, my God.
And let me tell you what.
Every time I watch, I have to eat something with meat. Just watching it, I'm like, I gotta eat a steak.
I want all your bacon and eggs.
I wanted to give you nothing, but what was it? Hot cooked meat or the? Good job, Sean. All right, moving on.
Anyway, but you know,
I gotta work that out.
Real quick, you said Amy Poehler. I can't complain about Julia Louis-Dreyfus winning because she's really good.
Yeah, I love
her.
Mm-hmm.
But when are they gonna give her an award, Amy Poehler?
Oh,
she's fantastic,
unbelievable.
And she's adorable, and
she looked amazing.
She looked fantastic.
Oh my God, the tits, everything. That was the first thing I said. I was like, where did those tits come from?
John Cryer, how can you be winning Emmys and Amy Poehler? And don't give me this. She's in a different category. You should go to her house. You should hand her your
fucking
Emmy.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Cryer. Fuck you, Amy Poehler.
Pull
for
a Ving
Rhames.
Mail it to her.
Yeah, pull a Ving Rhames and call Amy Poehler up on the stage and hand her the Emmy for Best Male Lead.
She deserves it.
She deserves
She could probably
everything.
Play that role better than him.
She probably can. She probably has. I've never watched Two and a Half Men,
by the way. By the way, for all you know, it's the most brilliant sitcom in the last 20 years.
I am confident it is not. Especially in its ninth season.
Oh, no, you can't start now.
A lot of second cast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
The young actor in it. What's
no
his
fucking
name?
The little
Angus. He's
something.
The highest paid child actor. I don't even know. He's like 30.
Until Manny from Modern Family renegotiates
exactly,
his contract.
Yeah.
I heard that on this season, that fucking kid, that Angus fucking kid, he's going to have a love interest played by Miley Cyrus.
Shut
Did I read
up.
That?
Apparently
wrong?
She's a freak in the bed.
I can imagine that.
Would you hear this?
The radio.
Now with her, Pink, and Ellen DeGeneres all have the same haircut.
Yeah.
You know,
and I would, you know what? I would still do 2 out of 3 of those.
Who's who? I know.
Ellen DeGeneres pretty. Pink would
she
probably.
She looked good last night.
I don't know. I feel like I'd get injured if I tried to have sex with Pink.
That's the exact.
Oh, I know.
That's the exact reason I would have sex with her. Pink.
Yeah. She'd make you. You know, she would make you have sex with her hanging out from some fucking dangling ass ribbon out of the air.
I don't need meat hooks in me again. That was no fun.
So before we leave, I wanted to bring up one more story, which I enjoyed. A movie theater in London is employing ninjas to enforce good theater behavior.
Stop it.
Basically, you'll be sitting in the movie, and if you start talking, all of a sudden someone, who you won't see them because they're dressed
in black,
will all of a sudden...
That's
pop
horrifying.
Up and tell you to be quiet.
Or stop texting or what have you.
Or yeah, or they'll be like, you'll be texting and then all of a sudden a ninja will pop up.
And see, I know. And then of course, I bet you they're wearing all red because you know how like on the side of the movie walls they have like the red curtain. So they're just against the wall and they just come out. That's oh my God. Can you imagine seeing like a scary movie and then all of a sudden this ninja comes off the wall? I'd shit my pants.
I would want a ninja to come and shush you while you were by yourself in the screening of Dread.
That would have been amazing. But then I wouldn't have been alone because I would have had a fucking ninja with me. I love it, by the way, because I hate these fucking people. I've talked about them, who they're like, what are they doing? What's going on? Or they're like, I need to check this.
Oh, I know.
And I want fucking ninja to come in and take that phone from them.
Tyler Perry presents The Hangover Part 2.
Oh, my God. We went to a screening of The Hangover Part 2. And right before the movie starts... these two...
Pack theater.
There happened to be two empty seats right behind us. These two boisterous...
Women of color.
African-American women came in. And I hate to stereotype, but I knew this was going to be an issue.
I love it.
And it was an issue. And I mean, they kept, as they're watching the movie, like... Because they had that line they kept saying, like, Bangkok has them now. And they're like, what does that mean? What does that mean?
My favorite part is when they wake up in the hotel, drugged.
Yeah.
And the camera's going around the disgusting Thailand hotel, and they're going, what happened? What happened? They only had one drink. What happened? Yeah. How did that happen?
What happened
was? Like, that's the premise of the movie.
Didn't you see the first one? Don't you know we'll figure this out?
It's the exact same plot line.
They were so fucking confused.
And they were awful. And
the other line they loved was, holla, city of squalor.
Oh, yeah, they kept saying that again. They kept saying, holla, city of squalor.
At random points throughout the entire movie.
And we were sitting there, and we knew we couldn't tell them to be quiet because they would sass us or something.
Of course, yeah.
But if we had a fucking ninja who just all of a sudden popped up, it would scare the shit out of them, and they would probably shut up.
I don't know, though. I feel like between a notorious B.I.G. lookalike black woman versus a British ninja.
They would have kicked his ass.
Yeah,
they would have busted
his shit.
Is that going to be the problem with...
Why don't they just replace them with giant... Well, instead of ninjas, they should just replace it with Precious lookalikes and have fucking Precious walk around the theater and scare the shit out of everyone.
I'm not even going down that path.
No, this is an even better
That could
idea.
Be amazing.
This is an even better idea. I love it. That England, you could keep your ninjas... We're going to have Precious lookalikes patrolling the AMC Burbank.
Exactly. Come see British people, come see a movie in New Orleans and see what you get.
Try a text. See what happens.
Exactly.
Send an SMS. Mm-hmm.
They will take your iPhone and trade it for a Metro PCS flip phone. And that will not have text messaging.
This is fantastic.
I think it's it. We solved all the world's problems.
This is what we do here. We solve problems, and we have solved the biggest problem I see. It's not if Iran gets nuclear weapons. It's how to stop people from talking to movie theaters.
That's true.
And today we have figured it out. Jordan, this has been fun.
So much fun. I loved it.
Awesome.
This is great. This is great. Before we go, do the thing where you plug your shit
everything
one more time.
Again. All right. So, October 4th, I am at the Rolling Stone with like a bunch of comedians from Last Comic Standing. Check it out. 8 p.m. It's on Hollywood and Highland in Los Angeles. That's October 4th. And then at 9:30 p.m. on October 12th, I'm at, I can't even say it, Pechanga.
Pechanga.
Pechanga. Pechanga Casino and Resort. That's in Temecula, California. God knows where that is. I'm sure it's a desert.
You're going to figure it out.
You'll figure
enough.
It out. You basically drive east.
What did you say?
You drive east until you get through the shitty part of town. You drive past that. Then you're in the desert.
Shittier.
And then all of a sudden, you just see this big hotel casino in the middle of the fucking desert. And it's pretty cool.
Well, nothing could be worse than Lewiston, Idaho, so I'm going to go for it.
And there's outlet malls there, too. So.
Oh, okay, awesome. As long as there's an H&M, I think I could find something to do. And you could buy tickets for that on pechanga.com.
Yep.
So check that out. I think they're probably anywhere between $12 and $20. I'm a bargain, so check it out.
Best deal in town.
It is.
And then your Twitter and your
and your website again.
So thejordanpease.com, and then at JordanPease1, and Pease is spelled... like, please, without the L.
Perfect.
So if you can't figure that out, don't follow me.
He doesn't want anyone that's stupid following him anyway.
And fire away. Please make fun of me, because I love when... I get so many people that after a stand-up show will tweet at me something, like something that I said, and or they'll just make fun of me, and I'm like, I live for this shit. It gives me such good material for next time I go on stage.
Nice. So you heard here, harass him on
harass
Twitter.
Harass the shit out of me.
Sean, are you plugging?
Like Jordan, I don't want any idiots, so I got a book. It's fancy. A lot of big words. Triumvirs. T-R-I-U-M-V-I-R-S. Even the title is a fancy word. It's on Amazon Kindle, so read it and buy it. Fine. And just going to do my tease thing about Sterner Stuffs, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Will. Oh, right, and I'm on Twitter at TheSeanDavid. You can follow me there. And follow me on Instagram, where I'm putting artwork up every single day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I was at Griffith Park Travel Town. I don't hang around train. Oh, I don't hang around the rails.
Sean, earlier today, had tweeted a photo of railroad tracks, and I tweeted back at him, why are you hanging around rail yards?
Oh, God.
But, okay, that makes sense.
That's pretty crystal methy.
Well,
hobos, they hang out at rail yards.
We've had this discussion.
You know
who
how
we talk
feel about hobos.
Who were we talking with about hobos riding the rails?
We were talking. It was on an episode of Will Sean Podcast with Debbie June.
That's right.
And you can follow me at The Real Will Link. And you could also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti reviewing movies. And you can find that at crntalk.com. And also you could read my latest reviews on the website You1Can. Cannes, like the city in France. So go to that, and I just posted a review of a movie that actually did win Cannes, Amour, Michael Haneke's new film. So check that
Which
out.
Is French for marshmallows.
Yes, Amour is French for marshmallows.
So who do we have upcoming?
Well, we got some good guests. We got next week from the quarterly magazine The Devastator, which is a terrific humorous magazine, we have Jeffrey Golden will be here talking about it. We're excited to have him on. And a week after that, we have terrific actor from the TV show Being Human. Also, he is the main character in the Star Wars Forced Unleashed video games.
Yes, something Starkiller, I believe, is the character's name.
And it is
Francis Starkiller.
It is the actor Sam Witwer. Terrific guy. He's going to be on the show. It's going to be great.
That's awesome.
And we're already booking into October. We've got author and a funny person, Kathy J. Snyder, is going to be coming on.
Talk about her book.
I said Kathy. It's Cassie.
Oh, and you you should know of all people.
Yes.
Oh, is there some history there?
There's some history. And
too bad we're out of time. I love gossip.
And
got a political episode coming up.
We got a political episode we're going to do right before the election. Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun. We also got a guy coming on who directed a documentary about the Iditarod.
What the? That's incredible.
Yeah.
And he's also a funny writer and stuff like
That's
that.
Awesome.
So he's going to be good, too. Alex Stein is his name. Big October coming your way. It's Podtober at the Wilson now.
We're finished.
We're finished. Podtober.